So it's been almost a week and a half since I uploaded a video because for the last 11 days I have been entirely off-grid. The last time you heard from me, I was in the Big Muddy in Missouri. Well, I've made my way out west and I'm pushing towards Humboldt County, Murder Mountain, the ground zero of Bigfoot sightings, and I hooked up with some guys that would know better than most people if Bigfoot is a reality or a total myth. But before we start this video, I'm going to ask you to hit that subscribe button as well as a little bell right next to it so you're notified of all new videos. YouTube hates me and we're trying to beat the algorithm, so smash that like button. Here we go. So to make my way all the way out to Humboldt County, it was a long, long trip. I spent a lot of time behind the wheel, but I also spent a lot of time stopping and investigating everything I came across along the way. But again, it was a long ride, but it was a beautiful ride. As a matter of fact, it looked a little something like this. So after a week and a half on the road, I finally made my way to the West Coast, specifically to Willow Creek, China Flats, Humboldt County, California. And my concerns about being abducted, raped, or killed by an 8, 9, 10 foot tall, two-legged, hair-covered beast weren't actually the most pressing of my concerns. I was well aware of the reputation that the Emerald Triangle held. And fortunately, I was able to hook up with some ex-California Highway Patrol, as well as some active duty deputies and sheriffs up in the area, and they guided my movements. Now, for those that don't know, up in the mountains, there aren't only Bigfoots running around, but it's also a notorious area for cultivators of cannabis, we'll call it. And they can be very protective of their neighborhoods. And when you're up there searching for Bigfoot, chances of you crossing into their territory is really easy, and you'd never know it until it was too late. So the guidance that I received was pretty helpful. I mean, I can take care of myself, and I head off into areas completely and utterly unannounced and alone quite often, only to return with footage if I actually can obtain any. This time around, I've gotten some pretty amazing footage, but that'll be in the next video. This video is simply the law enforcement guys telling me their stories, as well as one of the people that came into the Bigfoot Museum to break it down for me. So check this out. And before I show you the interviews, you're going to want to stay to this all the way to the end, because using digital night vision while out looking for Bigfoot, eyeshine, anything, I caught a crazy phenomenon in the sky that can't really be denied. But we'll get to that. On to the interview. So when I got to the town of Willow Creek, I was able to hook up with an active duty sheriff, a retired California Highway Patrolman, and a retired sheriff who was also featured in one of David Politis' books that was featuring the next town over called Hoopa, the Hoopa incident, or something to that effect. At any rate, at long last, here's one of the two interviews. All right, so I'm out here. This is my last stop. I went to every Bigfoot museum in the United States, and I didn't want to put this video up until I hit this final one. And all along my course, I told everybody I was coming out to Willow Creek, and they called this the original. This was like ground zero. This is the spot. And I was lucky enough to meet several law enforcement guys that were retired, still active, and you are actually retired CHP?
That's correct. Retired 2 years ago.
That's sweet. There's a couple of young fellas out in Colorado Springs that are enamored with the Chips guys. And it's astonishing that I'm sitting right here. A young fella named Hudson and Cooper would probably love to meet you one of these days if their dad brings you out here. So,
well, I don't have Poncherello's good looks, that's for sure.
That's all right. It's all overrated anyways.
Yeah.
It all goes with age.
Yep, it does.
You know what I mean?
It does. The mirror is the only thing that's realistic and that is avoided.
That's right. I do too. How did you end up sitting here? I mean, what made you... You're volunteering for this position, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, you know, I grew up on the coast of California in Humboldt County. And from an early age, we would go camping. And around those campfires at night, my dad would talk about Bigfoot. He was also a patrol officer at the time. And he patrolled an awful lot. And occasionally would come across stories. And he'd pass them along. And I remember, I must have been 7 or 8, 9 years old, I was enchanted. You know, back then I still believed in Santa Claus and Easter Bunny.
Right.
And right along with it, Bigfoot, the possibility of Bigfoot existing, was enchanting. Lo and behold, a year or two later, I'm 57 years old. So in search of Leonard Nimoy, and I was glued to that TV. It presented in a factual basis, whether it exists or not, and of course, the famous Patterson-Gimlin film. So from an early age, I was interested, like a lot of people coming into this museum, quite frankly, people my age were enchanted or enthralled by the original videos of Leonard Nimoy.
Let me interject real quick. I recently just reposted that original In Search Of on my YouTube channel, just for posterity.
Sure.
A lot of people don't even know that happened. Did you notice that Patty had breasts back when you were a kid watching that?
I did not, and I don't think
neither
they talked
did I.
About it.
They didn't, because I found this out. Right there and then, that's the telltale. There's no way that's a fake. How could you go? I mean, all right. At any rate,
I agree 100%.
Okay.
And Bill Munns has spent half his life, the famous film creator or film special effects person from Hollywood at the time. He was the go-to person, and he has written a book about it, and he actually broke down that film and said, there's no way I had that repertoire or that those resources, that type of suit, available in 1967. I couldn't have created this in 67.
Because a lot of people hang their hat on, it's not real, because this guy admitted to it.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
There's YouTubers out there that have done a phenomenal job. Their names escape me. I'll edit them in. But they've broken it down. These guys know how to do editing. They're showing the muscles.
Yes.
They're not even showing the mammary glands swinging side to side, which I never noticed. They're showing the ripples, the thigh muscles, all these striations and things that are moving. It just would not be humanly possible, because it wasn't.
It wasn't.
We were seeing the real deal on national TV and really didn't even get it at the time. Didn't get the scope of it, I'd have to say, you know.
And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on which you look at it, it's still the best evidence on video that we have today, primarily that didn't have Photoshop or AI or all these other things you can do nowadays. Didn't have it at the time, and they couldn't do it after the fact.
Drones.
Yep.
Drones. And it's just a strange thing. You can fly a drone over a crowd of people in New York City, no problem. Can't fly one in a national park.
Yeah,
I
used to have a drone, but I no longer do because I live in an area, we have forest fires. You can't fly them during forest fires with helicopters. It makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
And then, of course, the other places you'd want to use a drone would be in national parks or places like that, and you can't do it. So
you can't do it, which is strange. I had a buddy of mine. It's up on my channel. He took me up, and he pulled a helicopter a serious jet-propelled chopper out of his garage, like no big deal. He's like, you want me to take you over St. Helens? I said, Yeah. And we did. We looked for Bigfoot, but we were too high. And I wasn't seriously looking. It was my, you know, I didn't know what to look for, but at any rate. All right. So, fortunately, you just sat me down with a young lady, I believe, whose name was Lindsay. She told us a story about a Bigfoot messing up a logging camp. And there's a lot of stories about that, where they just take 50-gallon drums and toss them. And according to Bigfoot lore, someplace around here, there's still a camp where if you climb through the bushes enough, the damaged oil drums are still sitting right there because nobody's going to hike them out.
Right.
It's hard to get them in there. When something throws them off in the field, I guess they just lay there. But what's the craziest story that you've heard or the most believable? How about that?
Well, you know, honestly for me, so I always have been interested, but I never didn't move the needle in terms of making any efforts. And so I grew up to be an adult. I got into Highway Patrol, started in Los Angeles, slowly moved up to here. When I was growing up, we would come out here during the summers. You know, this place, the Klamath Mountains, Willow Creek, and all the places around it are just beautiful, and it was enchanting, you know.
I agree.
So as I moved forward, I came here, and I started working as a resident post officer, working out of my house, still keeping my Bigfoot interest to myself. In 2009, I was on a cabin on the Klamath River. I was with my brother and his brother-in-law. It was a family cabin of his brother-in-law. The cabin's on the Klamath River, about 20 miles up from the confluence of where it came into the ocean. It's in a spot that might as well be Alaska in terms of how remote it is. It's the only cabin within eye shot and probably for the next 2 miles. So very remote. And we're sitting there. We actually had dinner and we'd had some drinks. And his brother-in-law, it's really important in this story to describe him because he was a man's man. He is a man's man, quite frankly. In high school, he was one of the strongest kids in school as a freshman. He was number two in the state of California his senior year in wrestling. He lost the state wrestling match. He was a Golden Gloves boxer. He was also a three-time all-league football player in high school.
Wow.
He grew up, he wasn't a bully, but he was a tough guy. He was somebody that you wouldn't want to mess around with, and he certainly was going to show any emotion or any weaknesses. So we're sitting in this cabin. I just happened to ask him, I said, hey, he's Yurok Indian as well. And so he has netting rights, salmon taking rights on the river as well, family rights. I asked him, hey, listen, you've ever had any experiences while you've been down on this river? And he goes, as a matter of fact, I have. So I solicited him. He didn't bring it up. I said, well, please tell me. So he begins to tell me a story. On the Klamath River, if you have, if you're Native American and you have family rights to a netting spot, you can run gill net to take your salmon quota or salmon allowance for the year for your family. So he started doing that at an early age. And what they do is they set this gill net out and they leave it out overnight. On the Klamath River, the bears, we have a very, very high population of bears. The bears have learned over the years, a learned behavior, to look for nets. The nets usually have buoys on them to show they're in the river. And once a bear finds that, if they're not detracted from doing it, they'll sit on their haunches and actually physically pull the net in looking for fish. So what the Native Americans have done over the years is they have to sit on their nets overnight. And they have to sit with rifles or whatever it takes to shoo away bears when they show up.
Makes sense.
Because they could ruin a net. So he describes an occurrence. It was probably in the last 20 years. He's on a spot called Blake's Riffle, the family spot for him, and they're sitting on their net. So the net is out on the river. It's about, it's overnight. He didn't tell me how late it was. I'm going to assume it's 2 or 3 in the morning. He's sitting with another man in his pickup. He's got a 30-30. The other guy's got a rifle as well. The windows are down, and they're watching the net. He says, it's kind of foggy. He says, you know, Eric, I'm sitting there. All of a sudden, I hear this blood-curdling scream. He says, it's a roar and a scream. He said, I felt it from the tips of my toenails. It transferred to my body, through the follicles in my head. And he said that I immediately thought, oh my God, something can kill me. Now, understand one thing. This guy is the toughest guy I know. And as he's telling me the story, his lips starts to quiver. And his eyes water up a little bit, and you can see the hairs on his arm lifting. This is not a put-on. He is reliving this experience as he's telling me viscerally. His body is showing me. Now, being in law enforcement for a number of years, I've interviewed lots of witnesses for various, you know, tragic events. And one of the things you look for veracity is just how people are speaking about the event. And a lot of times they're reliving the event as they're telling you. And he was doing this. And so he said that over the course of 5 to 10 minutes, he doesn't know exactly how long it was, he'd hear a loud response to the original cry, roar, and it would go back and forth for 5 to 10 minutes. And he said that each and every time he felt like it was shaking the interior of his pickup. He said as best he could think of it, it was on high ground across the river, so probably up near the trees, up an embankment. But the most important thing, and it was riveting to me, to have this man that wouldn't show any weakness to in front of me have this visceral response to his story. So certainly beyond believable, it moved me. So at that point in time, I thought to myself, golly, it really rekindled my interest in Bigfoot. And I realized, golly, I work out in an extremely rural area. I work along the Klamath River as well as the Trinity River. I know Native Americans all the time run nets during salmon season. I can ask people these things. It's not, by that time I'd worked out here long enough, I wasn't embarrassed to ask.
Right.
So over the course of the next several years, I would just ask people during netting season or people that I felt comfortable asking, and I'd solicit them. Hey, listen, anything happened on the river this year? And invariably, no one I spoke to specifically after talking to him originally said they had an experience, but there was always rumor on the river that somebody had seen a Bigfoot, either take a fish or on the river or looking at nets or whatever. And it was rather matter of fact. So over the years, I just started asking people, and people started coming to me on duty with some of their experiences. Usually it's fleeting, like, you know, someone saw something in the bushes shaking, or they saw something pass in front of them. I had a Caltrans DOT, a Department of Transportation worker, once approach me. He says, hey, are you the highway patrolman that likes to ask about Bigfoot? I said, yeah, I am. He goes, well, you know, for what it's worth, in the late 70s, early 80s, I was working in an area near here, near Bear Road, Stover Road, and I was headed to work. There was a mill down there, and lo and behold, as I'm driving down the road in amongst the redwoods, a Bigfoot, clear as day, walked and ran across the road in front of me. And so I started having small stories like that, and it piqued my interest. I've never went any further. I'm not an investigator. I'm not a researcher. I think sometimes it's a little offensive to call themselves researchers because they've looked on the internet or they've read a book.
I agree.
Researchers are people who get out in the woods and they actually go out and physically do things. But I'm a facilitator of information. It's been really, really fun this summer. I've had 12 to 15 different stories come across the counter here, and people telling me that their personal experiences. Four of those were encounters. And these people, a lot of them have kept it to themselves, with the exception of their immediate family, and they've come here to want to talk about it. And I feel, you know, honored to have someone actually feel comfortable enough to come speak about these things. And, you know, I've never had a personal experience. And so for me, I believe 4 days a week, because I got to believe these people that tell me these things. They saw something. These people aren't making things up at the great risk to themselves in terms of their reputation. I read a book by David Pilates, The Hoopa Project, a very good book. But one point he made, which I really think it makes a lot of sense, is that, listen, if you're from Wisconsin, you know the difference between a Shetland pony and a cow. And so he says, next step forward, if you're from a rural area, you live in the woods, and maybe you're a woodsman or you're a peace officer or you're a Forest Service ranger, give them enough respect to realize they know the difference between a bear and a Bigfoot. You know, you can choose to believe somebody or not, but in terms of their recollection, they've experienced something. And what that something is, I can't tell you. But they know what they're looking at.
Well, I left and came back specifically to get you on video because we sat here earlier, the three of us, well, actually with the people coming in and out, just shooting the breeze. And, I mean, everybody has law enforcement background, and that lends credibility. It just does. It is what it is. It just does, and that's a great thing. The amazing thing is that people laugh at people that come forward with a story that, why would somebody make something up that's going to make them automatically look foolish. It makes them fodder. Yep. You know what I mean?
I agree 100%.
I had three stories. As of the last year, they are live on a podcast, Bigfoot Crossroads. He calls me Bigfoot Overlander instead of Jailbreak, which is fine. There was a story that I had that I didn't say a word about to anybody for 12 years. And I was with somebody at the time, and I told you this. I hit her up and said, hey, do me a favor. Do you remember that night? What do you remember? She sent back a story that I actually put up on video. Here's the entire story as she sent it. It was identical to mine. And there was actually other crazy things that happened that night. Other than the fact that we got run out of camp, the next day we wake up in a town. Now that the sun's up, the whole town is a Bigfoot town. We didn't realize that.
Right.
But there were strange things in the stars. There was all sorts of crazy things. And when I got to Willow Creek last night, I told you this with the digital night cam. I'm probably going to include this in the video interview right now, where I caught a blue sphere just kind of wandering around above me, not going in a straight line. And then there's no light except for the stars. And whatever that bad boy is, you see that? Come out here looking for Bigfoot. You see his little buddy right next to him? Blue orb of energy of some sort. And then it just blinks out. Totally gone. So for those that believe, Richie, that was an airplane, here is an airplane at the same location using the same digital night vision. Here you go.
Look awesome. There's an airplane. Easily detectable. Because of these strobing lights.
And because of the length of this video already, I want to kind of cut it short, even though a half an hour isn't short, but there's one more person that I'd like to get in here. Eric, the retired CHP officer, recommended her story, so here it is.
All right, have at it.
Hi, my name is Lindsay Hill, and I'm from here in Humboldt County, and my family's from here in Humboldt County. And my grandparents had a logging company. My grandfather's name is Glenn Easter. And so my uncles worked for the company as well. And we logged some land on Hoopa tribal land here near Willow Creek. And my uncle was driving up to the job in the morning, and there was so much dust that they had to run the water truck up the road. So he was running the water truck up the road, and then all of a sudden he sees trucks coming down off the side of the hill and going straight down the road. And so, you know, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, so he's kind of rubbing his eyes like, am I seeing what I'm seeing, you know? And he stops the truck, and then he gets out, and then in the lights of the truck, he takes a look, and it's obviously these gigantic footprints that go all the way up the job that he just followed along the road up there. And he was not happy about us going in and logging and having our equipment there. So with that, he wasn't there at the scene when my uncle arrived, and got up there to the landing, and he had thrown 50-gallon barrels of diesel fuel and had messed with a lot of the equipment that was still there on the job.
Who threw the barrels?
Who threw the barrels? I believe it was Bigfoot himself.
Okay.
I believe there's a lot of Bigfoots out there, you know, like, but that was definitely his territory. And growing up here, it's always, like, we've always known that, like, Bigfoot exists. It's not ever really been questioned. It's just, we know that it's not legend because we have, you know, seen the evidence that
right.
he exists. And, like, so many people have seen them. I have not seen him personally. I think it would be really cool to run into him, but it kind of like a little worried about it too. That's kind of a scary thing, you know?
Right.
But I believe that, you know, he's here walking among us, and he has areas, and his family has areas where they live in up in the mountains. And I think in Humboldt County that we are a very spiritual place here, and I believe that that draws a vortex of good energy for Bigfoot living here in this area. And I believe that that's why we have more sightings of Bigfoot in this area, as well as like areas of Shasta County.
Well, I agree with you. There's definitely more than one, because on my way out here from Massachusetts, I stopped in Missouri just in a random spot and literally found bent over trees, the whole, and I got it all on video, so it was old too. It looked like nothing had been there in a while, but
definitely
Vermont, Maine, they're absolutely everywhere. Some people, I mean, most people don't, they believe what they're told on television. Television tells you to laugh at that. That's ridiculous. Or there is one Bigfoot. He's just really fast. He's here, there, and everywhere. But yeah, there's more than one.
You know, we took pictures, and HSU, which is Humboldt State Cal Poly now, but at the time it was Humboldt State University. They came up and they took cast, and it was a, you know, serious thing, especially because it was happening on tribal land. And my granddad took a picture with his, he was wearing sneakers. Thought it was so odd. He wasn't in his work boots. He took sneakers and took a picture with his Polaroid camera. And I shared it in elementary school because we were having a share day, and I thought that that would be something really incredible to share with friends. But this is when I was living up in Washington. I temporarily moved up there for a little while. The kids laughed at me, and I was like, "You don't understand. Like, it's like." It's real, like, yeah. And so, but to share those pictures with people that, like, really understand that, yes, that he does exist, and it's not a laughing matter, and that there's male and female, and
Patty's a great example.
And there's, you know, there's a lot more to it. And I wish that I knew more about them and about how they live. And
we're working on we're working on it. There's a lot of us.
Yeah, there's it's something that I will definitely continue to educate myself on, because
Sweet.
I find it's truly fascinating, as I think anyone should. Anything that's unexplained is just fascinating.
And this is a big one too. No pun intended. This is a big one,
intended.
You know. That
exactly.
statue out front, people have described them that size. That's insane to even think that, but I've watched bull moose stand in front of you and then just walk into the woods two steps and they're gone.
Yep.
You can't see them at all. It's a massive animal.
My step-grandmother and my stepmom, we had property up at Big Lagoon. And so we would go up there, like, you know, every other weekend or so when we could. And so all of my family had gotten up there, like, gotten off work early. My grandma and my stepmom, they were coming out a little bit late, so it was dark. And they were driving through, and definitely saw a Bigfoot. And he was like a gray shade, is how they describe it.
Yep.
And so I would say maybe he was an older one, you know? I know that there's all different shades. But they described them as a gray shade. They slowed down the vehicle. He walked across the road and then just continued on. And they both looked at each other like, did you just see what I just saw? And then, you know,
that's
continued
it.
On their way and didn't want to stick around any longer, you know. But he just was like, you know, okay with, hey, I'm crossing the road
yep.
and I'm not making any trouble or anything.
Catch
you know?
Me if you can.
Yeah. And
that's, I mean, I've listened to a lot of stories. I mean, so many stories. And lots of times it looks right at people and just turns away like they weren't even, he looks right at them like, I see you, but
yep.
I don't care.
I see you.
You know what I mean? It's like coming home to your wife.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
I see you, but I don't care.
For sure.
All right. I really appreciate your time.
Well, it was
this
really
will
nice
be up.
Meeting you.
No worries. No worries.
I thought I could be here today.
That's excellent.
Sweet. Thank you.
Perfect. Good time.
So there you have it. Ex-law enforcement, two sheriffs that spoke to me off the record because there's one still on duty and the other one just doesn't want to speak on camera. He is the one that David Pilatus refers to. At any rate, this video's gone way long enough. I'm in a terrible cell phone location or uploading location, which the entire West Coast seems to be. So I'm going to cut this fairly short at 35 minutes. If you enjoyed this video, do me a solid, hit that like, share, and subscribe, and leave a comment below, and I will return the favor. I am out.